We are in the book of Colossians, and so if you would turn to that, if you have your Bibles with you, and please bring your Bibles. Say, Pastor Dave, don't start that. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it until you got a Bible with you. Bring your Bibles. If you need one, tell me. I'll give you one. The book of Colossians is in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's letters, and we're going to take some time to walk through this a little bit and see what it is that we can learn, and I can promise you it's a lot. Paul was not a perfect man by any means. And he even realized that much later. I got to think in the beginning, Paul was probably a little full of himself. I know that never affects any of us. None of us are ever like that. But Paul, I think, was a little full of himself at times because he was a Pharisee. You got to remember. And Pharisees were very much about appearance and about what they looked like and about what people thought of them. That's why Paul or why Jesus said that when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees do. They would stand out in the most public place they could find, and they would beat their chests and scream out their prayers. And they didn't do that because God was hard of hearing. They did it because they wanted people to see them praying. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, go into a quiet, private place. Same thing with fasting, if any of you have fasted. And we're going to talk about that sometime down the road a little bit. Bible says that when you fast, don't have this look on your face like I'm the most miserable person in the world, so people ask you what's the matter with you, and then you get to tell them, I'm fasting. I'm spiritual. I'm fasting. Fasting is important, but you need to do it the right way. Bible says don't let anybody know what you're doing, because then the Father is the one that's glorified, not you. Does that all make sense? So that's how Paul was. Paul was a, but then at the end of Paul's life, just about a year or so before he was martyred by Nero, he writes and he says, I want to tell you some good things here. And some of that is that we need to pray. We need to be humble before God because he's forgiven us our sins. And watch this. He says, I'm the worst of all of them. That's a man that's grown in the things of the Lord, because as we increase in him, we decrease in ourselves. Does that make sense? If we increase in him, it decreases our lives, because then the pride that is the natural part of man's flesh is not there because God is greater than we are. That's not even what I want to talk about today. See, that's for free. That was for nothing. I just threw that in. Where am I at? Colossians. Okay, we're in Colossians. We're looking at the third and the fourth verses of the first chapter of Colossians. And the words say this. It says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all of the love that you have for the saints. Two verses, that's it. And what we talked about last week was that Paul begins this by saying to the people, I have great gratitude for you. I'm just so thankful for you. And I asked you, how when's the last time that you told somebody you were thankful? Did anybody do that this week? Did you tell somebody this week that you were thankful for them, that you were grateful for them, you were glad that they were a part of your lives? And you know the people that get usually passed over with this more than anybody, it's the ones that are closest to us. It's the ones we see every single day. When's the last time you told your husband how grateful you were for him, or told your wife, told your child, told your grandchild, told your coworker, told your roommate, I'm grateful for you. See, you guys are all doing that right now. You're looking at each other trying to get that in. That doesn't count. If I'm telling you to do it and you're doing it, that doesn't count. Well, it half counts. All right, it half counts. I saw you. I saw you lean over to Joe and tell him. That's all right. That counts halfway. That's a half account. Beck, I saw you too. I saw you do that. That's all right. But be grateful for one another. Paul says right from the beginning, I am so grateful for you. I'm thankful to have you as a part of this ministry of what's going on. Now, Paul didn't start this church. This was not one of his churches, but he acts as a father towards them, and he writes this letter to encourage them. This morning, I want to look at how Paul does that, because Paul does this through something that obviously is the most important thing, one of the most important things we can be doing in our lives. He does it through prayer. And when Paul prays for these people, he prays for them in a way that meets every single need that they possibly could have. And so what I want to ask us this morning is to examine what the content of our prayer is. Because when he says this in here, he says, we thank the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now, the word when that's used there in the original language is an ongoing word. It doesn't mean I do it one time and then stop. In the original language, it was so much more descriptive than what we have today. Our words today are pretty much, I mean, this is what it means and that's what it means. And I realize words all have different meanings, but the meaning itself is usually fairly static. In the original Greek language that this was written in, there's so much more to the words. And when Paul says, when I pray for you, it means as I continually am praying for you. That's how Paul prayed. And it's the same verse that we see when the Bible says that Jesus says in Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. That's not one hit. That's a continual knocking. It's a continual hitting. Whoever hears it opens a door. I'll come in, I'll sit down and eat with you, and you'll eat with me. But it's a continual knocking. That's how Paul prayed for the people at the church there. And I want you to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you would, because I want to look at prayer just for a second. And we've gone over this before, but it's so important. This is where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. This is called the Lord's Prayer. That's not actually accurate. It isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know that prayer, when he's off by himself and he asked Peter, James, and John to stay behind him and to watch and pray. And what did they do? They fell sound asleep. Take heart. If you fall asleep when you're praying, wake up, start again. Don't beat yourself up. Just keep going. Because even the disciples, the three of Jesus' inner circle, couldn't stay awake and pray with him. But Jesus said, when you pray, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, this is what I want you to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so in those four verses, or those five verses, we have broken down a foundation of how we should pray. And again, if you remember this, we talked about this in pretty much detail. This was, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. Every one of our sermons from Remnant Life for all 3 years, you can find them online. I know some of you are thinking, you must be joking. I come here in the morning. Why would I go listen to you at other times too? It's just, come on. But if God ever plays it on your heart to maybe go back, you can find all of those sermons online. So we did a series on prayer and how to pray. And in these verses, this is what Jesus is saying that you do when you pray. In the 9th verse, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing we should do when we pray is to praise him, to thank him for who he is. Now, we don't always do that, do we? Because usually that depends on what's going on around us is what dictates what my prayer is. There's sometimes I come and I begin to pray and I'm laying on my face because of what's going on in my life. Understand that. But Jesus says when you come and pray, the first thing you should do is to praise him. Why? Because that establishes the foundation of how it is that you're going to be talking to him. It's in a heart of gratitude. I understand, Father, I don't deserve to be here in your presence. I'm only here because of your love for me. So that's what starts it. I praise him first. The 10th verse then. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm submitting my life to his will. So what that means is that everything I pray from this point on, it is done with the understanding that, Father, your will is first, not mine. And again, when we pray so many times and we're asking God for things, it is a list of what I need God to do for me. I need this, I need this, I need this. All of those things, they may be very important, but do they all come under the heading of, Father, these are the things I'm asking for, but your will is greater than mine. And whatever it is you decide, that's okay. I'm good with that. Because I got to be honest, I've prayed a couple times like that, and I've said, God, okay, whatever you want, but boy, I really want you to want this. And if you don't, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. That's not a heart that's submitted to him. A submitted heart says, Father, whatever it is that you decide is what I want for my life because it's best. It's where I should be. And if it's not easy, you're going to help me. You're going to direct me through that time. You'll give me what I need in order to make my way through. But it begins by submitting my life to him. The 11th verse then says, give us today our daily bread. What am I doing? I'm asking him to supply my needs. Needs, not wants. I have a lot of wants, but that's not what God said he's going to supply to me. God said, I'll supply your needs. And so when Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, he's talking about the things that are important in our lives that we need. He'll make sure we have food to eat. He'll make sure that we have clothes to wear, that we have shelter over our heads. Those are the things that we need in our lives. He'll be faithful to give them to us. The 12th verse then says, forgive us our debts as we have been forgiven or have forgiven our debtors. This is such an important verse, and I want to take just a moment to stay on this and to make sure that we understand the gravity and the depth of what forgiveness is. St. Augustine, some of you may recognize that name, was a late 4th, early 5th century theologian and scholar. Matter of fact, much of what Western religion became was off of the teachings of St. Augustine. And he said these words. He said, that particular verse, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. He said, I call that a terrible petition. A terrible petition. He pointed out that if you pray these words while harboring an unforgiving spirit, you are actually asking God not to forgive you. Think about that for a second. If you pray those words, Father, forgive me my sins, but you are not willing to forgive other people, you're actually asking God not to forgive you. Why? Because the words say this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So in other words, the way that I forgive the people in my life, God, that's how I want you to forgive me. Do we understand what that means? This is why we cannot have unforgiveness in our lives. This is why every time we come to the communion table, I say we have got to search our hearts, allow God to search our hearts. And if we're holding anything against anybody, we have got to offer them forgiveness. We've got to release that. You see, Pastor Dave, you don't know what that person did to me. I don't read anything in here that says that there's stipulations, that only for this do you offer forgiveness, but not for this. Whatever it is that has been trespassed against you, the Bible tells us you must forgive. Why? Because if you don't, God's not able to forgive you your sins. That scares me to death. You say, well, come on, Pastor Dave, is it really that deep? I mean, is that really truly what it says? Forgive us our sins as or in the same way that I forgive other people. And unforgiveness is just such a destructive force in our lives. It affects you emotionally, obviously. It also affects you physically. There have been studies done that have demonstrated that emotions, as much as anything, contribute to our physical health. And if I've known people that have been so racked with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness that their bodies have begun to respond to that. Constantly sick, constantly weak, constantly in a state of pain. Why? Because there's something physiologically wrong with them? Yes, because of their bitterness, because of their anger, because of their unforgiveness. I think I've shared with you this before. I know I have. Holding unforgiveness against someone is like drinking poison into your body in the hopes of hurting them. That's what unforgiveness is. I drink the poison because I'm trying to hurt you. That doesn't do anything to them. I'm the only one that gets hurt. And so Paul writes these words and he says, while I'm praying for you, and Jesus says, well, this is the way that you're supposed to pray, and a part of that has got to be that I offer forgiveness. You see, Jesus is actually also, he's establishing a comparison of forgiveness. Yes, if you forgive other people, my Father will forgive you. If you choose not to forgive them, my Father will not be able to forgive you. It is always a choice, always. You say, I can't forgive them. It's not possible. Yes, it is. Yeah. You're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have to be willing to let some things go. You may have to be willing to not be proven right. Can you do that? I'm not saying this is easy. Can you do that? Can you actually allow people to think that someone else was right instead of you when you know you were? You following what I'm saying? That's a hard thing for people. You don't understand. They were in the wrong. It doesn't matter. Forgive. They did something to me that I did not deserve. It doesn't matter. Forgive. It's not fair. It doesn't matter. Forgive. Why? For their sake, in part, but much more than that, for your sake. Your prayers are hindered. Your relationship with God is blocked. It cannot be all that it's supposed to be when you are allowing unforgiveness to be in your heart. Can I encourage you this morning, if you have anybody in your life that you are dealing with unforgiveness, that you make that right? You say, well, Pastor Dave, the person that I have this with, they're gone. Either they're not around here anymore, or maybe they've passed on. I can't talk to them anymore. You don't need to talk to them if you can't. Just go to the Father and say, God, I'm releasing this to you. I don't want to hold this anymore. Now, if they are here, you're going to have to do a hard thing. You're going to have to go and ask forgiveness, or you're going to have to offer it. I had to do this with two people in my past that I can remember very vividly. A couple of people in ministry, actually, that I went to them a time later, and I just sat down and I said, listen, I need to ask for your forgiveness. They had to forgive me in this situation. I said, I need you to forgive me. I have said some things. I have done some things. You're not even aware of it, but I got to ask your forgiveness. Why? Because my life was being affected. I was holding on to that. And then they did the right thing. Why? Because they forgave me. So sometimes you're going to be on the giving end of that forgiveness. Sometimes you're going to be on the receiving end. The most important thing, though, is that that is removed from your life. It needs to be removed. The last thing then, the 13th verse, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is protection from our flesh, from temptations by Satan. And so Jesus says, here's how you need to pray. You need to praise God first. That's the first thing that you do. And then you need to submit yourself to him when you pray. His will is first. And then, God, I have my needs and I ask that you provide them for me. I've got to offer forgiveness. And then I want to be protected from the temptations of the enemy. Those are the ways that Paul prayed. Those are the ways that we need to be praying today, because when we do, we establish with God a renewed relationship every single time that he can speak and minister to our lives. It's not easy even to find that time. I would love to be able to stand up here and tell you, yep, my wife and I pray together an hour every single day. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It needs to. We need to pray more together. We all need to pray more. There is nobody, I think, that can say, yeah, I pray enough. Oh, yeah, I'm praying more than enough. I'm lousy with prayer. I don't know if that's the right sentence to say with that or not, but we all need to be doing it. We all need to be spending more time with the Father. Let me encourage you to do that, to make the time every day. Now, don't start off by saying, I'm going to pray for an hour a day, because you're not. You need to build up to that. That time needs to grow. But spend a little bit of time every single day with the Father. And the next day, add a little bit more and add a little bit more. You will be amazed at what it is that God will be able to do in your life when you're spending that time with him. It's that important. Now, the next two verses then, and I'm still in Matthew, because once again, it's just a reinforcement. I have actually built a lot of what I believe God's called me to do based on this, and I'm not going to go into it because it'll just be repeating what I said. But then look at the 14th and 15th verses of Matthew 6. Jesus teaches us how to pray, and then he goes back and he says, by the way, if you missed that verse on forgiveness, let me give it to you again. He said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Those are Jesus' words. So if you're sitting here thinking, come on, Pastor Dave, you're really overdoing this, aren't you? Those are the words of the Lord. Forgive one another. And so Paul then, back in Colossians, the first chapter, Paul says, while we are praying for you, and why that's an important verse is because just as Paul was always thankful for those people, he was always praying for them. Can I encourage you to get yourself more into an attitude of prayer no matter where you are? You can pray no matter where you are. You do not, as I've said so many times, have to be kneeling with your hands folded and your eyes closed. You don't need to be sitting someplace. You can be doing absolutely anything. When you're at work, you can be praying. Eddie, on the road, when you're driving, you can be praying. When you're in school, sitting in class, you can be praying. And I know those prayers. God, help me in this course. I have no idea what I'm doing. This teacher makes no sense to me. Help them to become a better teacher. That's what it is. It wasn't that long ago, I remember. But you can pray anywhere and in any circumstance and in any situation. That's why when Paul says, pray without ceasing, that's what he's talking about, to be in an attitude of prayer. Again, that just, it changes our environment when we are in that mind. And as Paul's praying, he also is saying to them about that prayer. He says, when we're praying, and the word pray that he uses is an all-inclusive word. The Bible gives us seven types of prayers, and I'm not going to go into them now, but I want to give them to you. There is submission prayer, where we humble ourselves before God. There's the prayers of confession, when we're asking him to forgive us. The prayers of petition, asking him for things in our lives. The prayers of supplication and of intercession, of praise and thanksgiving. Those are the seven types of prayers. When Paul writes to this group and he says, I'm praying for you, what he's saying is, no matter what you need, I've got you covered in prayer. My friends, that's how I want us to pray as a church. That when we pray for one another, when we pray for people in our neighborhood, in our sphere of influence, we are asking God to come and to minister to them in any way that they need. Can I encourage you when you pray to make it less about yourself and more about the people in your lives? Pray for the people in your lives. You will see change taking place. While we were worshiping this morning, Karen, which often happens to her when we're worshiping, saw a picture in her mind of a rainbow. Now, here's the thing. When you think rainbow, you always only think of probably first about what our world's interpretation of a rainbow symbolizes. God had the rainbow first. You have to understand that. He had it first. It's been taken and it's been perverted. God had the rainbow first. And what that symbol meant was a promise. It was God's promise in the heavens that he would never again destroy the world with a flood. And so every time we see a rainbow, that promise is still given to us. But it also means any kind of a promise. And as she shared that with Katarina, Katarina said, it just means there's somebody here. There's some people here this morning that are holding to a promise. Don't give up. Don't let go. Hold to that. Maybe that's for what you need to do with your family. Maybe it's where it's going to be as far as where your life is headed. Maybe questions that some of you college guys are saying, look, I don't know where I'm going here. Maybe I don't even have a major declared yet. What am I supposed to do? Hold to the promise that God will show you and tell you what you need to do. See, that's how God speaks to us. One person, God gives that person a vision of something in their minds and they share it. And we don't know how many of you here, that word may be for you this morning. You've got a promise that you're holding to. Hold to the promise. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep asking. God will be faithful. Amen? So when you pray, do you pray in that way? Do you ask God for everything that he desires for you? That's the best way you can pray. When I'm asking God, I say, God, okay, I got all these things that we're looking at here, all these things I'm dealing with, but with everything that I bring to you, what do you want from me? That's the way Paul was saying. This is how I pray for you as a church. I'm praying whatever you need, God's going to bless you. We're praying for things in this church. We are asking God to continue to do what he wants to hear. Now, that doesn't always mean numbers. I mean, it's been fun. We've had 50, 60 people for about the last month and a half or so here. It's great. I love more people come, the better. But that's not why we're here. I've been asking God to provide for us opportunities to minister in different places, to be able to touch people's lives. And he does that in a lot of different ways. We're asking God for our church building. We're asking God for a permanent home. I don't know how we're going to have church and we don't have to come in and do all of this. I don't know, Dave. What do we do? We sleep in? I don't know how this works. We'll have to talk about that. But it'll be great when God gives us our home, but in his time. Because there's responsibility that comes with that as a church. Greater expenses are a part of that. Can we step up to that as a church? I know we will. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Can we then be ready to move out into the community that God puts us in and be able to minister to them? I have no doubt about that in my mind. God's given us 3 years to be able to understand what it means to love different people. Unconditionally. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you're good at, what you're bad at. I don't care if you come in a bad mood. We're going to love you unconditionally. Everybody's welcome here. But we're going to talk about God. We're going to be faithful to his word. But we're going to do it in love, everything that we do. So Paul was grateful for this church. He said, I'm grateful for you. And I pray for you all the time. I got one more to share. Joe, I'm doing it next week. See, now you got to come back. Joe said, you need to bring some of these things to a conclusion here. I said, no, I'm going to bring you back next week. But God wants us to use these things in our lives. You say, you come to church, you hear about all of these things, you go, okay, well, that's nice. I'm glad. Paul was a nice guy there. He was taking care of that church. That's not the primary reason we look at this. We look at these things so we can ask God, how do you want us to use these in our lives? How can I be more grateful for the people in my life? How can I increase my prayer life so that it's more than just my sitting down with my eyes closed and just taking some quiet time? I doze off for a minute and then I wake back up. I want you to have a prayer life that is powerful, that I'm praying and asking God to change things in my life, to change things in the lives of the people around me. And He's faithful to do that in His time with the people that are praying. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a people that pray not just at church. What does a praying church mean? Yeah, we do that together, but we're doing it through the course of the week. We're a people that understand that prayer changes the atmosphere, changes the circumstances of my life because of Him. Can I encourage you with that this morning? Continue to pray. Continue to press on in what it is that God's called you to do. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. I thank You, God, that as we look at the book of Colossians, we can see so much in just these short couple of verses. But Lord, it's not enough just to understand them. We need to now use them in our lives. We need, Father, to be able to be grateful for people, even when they're not terribly nice to us. I can still speak loving words to them. Father, to be able to pray for people that don't always treat me well, people, God, I may not be happy with, but God, the Bible tells us that each and every person that we pray for, You hear our prayers and that You are present in each and every one of them. And so, God, I ask that that would become much more important to each and every one of us. Father, I pray as we leave this place today that we would desire and look for opportunities to show Your love. Father, the word tells us that people will know that we're Christians by the way that we love one another. Father, there's so many people in the world today that are watching us, watching churches, watching people that profess to be Christians. And Father, there are many times when we don't show them any good reason why they should want to be one. God, please forgive us. Forgive us when we're short with each other. Forgive us, God, when we're not patient and when we're not loving. Father, this isn't an easy thing to do. Satan is always trying to get us to be as selfish as we possibly can. But Father, we know that Your love can overwhelm that in our lives, that we can be humble. We can be grateful. We can, Father, desire to see Your joy and Your love radiating into other people's lives. Father, I just pray that we will continue to understand more and more, this is not about me. It's about You. It's about Your presence in me. And so I pray blessing over each and every person here today. I pray especially for the Messiah students, God, that You go with them, protect them this week as they go. Give them great time at home with family and loved ones. And then, God, I pray You'll bring them back to us safely. Lord, we look forward to all that You have in store over these next weeks and months. And Lord, as we keep our eyes set on You, I pray, Father, that we will hold to the promises that You have given us. And God, again, I'm convinced there's at least one, maybe two people in here that have a promise that's been made to them that they've been thinking, I'm just giving up on it. No, hold to the promise that You've been given. God is faithful. God will come through in His time and in His perfect will, all to His glory. Father, we give You all the glory and all the honor. In Your matchless name, we pray together. Amen. Amen.